to open up God's precious word and to be with the boys and girls during Bible school. It's always a thrill to be here to work with you, and we just hope and pray that each one of us will pray that the Lord will speak to the boys and girls, that some will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior this week. It'd be a real great treat for all of us to see many come to the Savior. And so let's remember it in our prayers day by day that God will speak to me and to each one of the workers that will be working with the boys and girls, that we might be a blessing to these young hearts. This morning I want us to open our Bibles to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. I imagine that each one has probably heard by now that Mrs. Dowdy, one of the saints in the Siler City meeting, passed away, and her funeral will be this afternoon in Siler City. You want to remember this family in prayer. She's one of the elders' wives there in the assembly at Siler City. This portion of God's Word deals with death, and as we go into this 11th chapter, I just pray that the Lord will speak to your heart as He has to mine as I have gone over it and have prayed about it, and I just pray that it will be a real blessing to your heart as well. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We're going to stop our reading right there for this time and just comment on a few of these verses that we have before us. Remember, in the 10th chapter of John, of course, is the great chapter of the sheep. It gives us that great verses that we find in verse 28, or we really should look at the 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Now, beloved, the reason I read those verses is it really ties into the 11th chapter. Because the Lord Jesus Christ had left this place preaching to the people of Israel, and he left to go to another place because they wanted to take his life. They wanted to stone him. From this chapter on, in the 11th chapter on to the end of the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ refers to his death. And all the time, during his time, he's preparing to go to the cross for those he loves. And this is just another step before the cross and a miracle that he performs to show to the people of this earth that he is God manifested in the flesh. In this 10th chapter he says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, the Jews could not take this. They wanted to destroy him. And so they reached down to pick up stones to stone him, to do away with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, beloved, when you look into the scriptures of God's Word, how it is that the people of God, as they see God's Word unfold to them, how they are blessed by what has gone on before. As I was thinking even of this verse here, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They wanted to do away with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might say, why? Because their hearts were pricked at the truth that he gave to them, showing to each one that they were sinners and that they needed a Savior, and that they were not his sheep, but they could be his sheep if they would follow him. But they would not follow him because their deeds were evil, and they wanted to do that which was evil and not that which was right. And today we find the same thing in our society. People do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because they want to do that which is evil. They want to do that which is their own will. They don't want to be bothered to ask God what His will is for their life. They want to make that choice. Even from choosing our own partner to choosing our own employment and so on, we want to make the decisions. But a person that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not his will anymore. It's the Lord's will. Lord, what would you have me to do? Now that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did with his Father. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's why the Father was very pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we come into this chapter, I want us to notice the 40th verse of the 10th chapter. It says, maybe we could even look at the 39th verse. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. He went out of their midst. Again, they wanted to destroy him. Notice the 40th verse. And went away again beyond Jordan into a place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. He went on the other side of Jordan. No doubt, as you look at this portion of God's Word and think of the Lord Jesus Christ leaving Jerusalem, going beyond Jordan, going outside of the country now, on the other side of Jordan where John was baptizing, which we would call near Amman Jordan today, or over that bridge where so many people and the tourists pass over, right outside of Jericho is no doubt where the Lord Jesus Christ went. And there he was abiding. And as he was there, he was away from Jerusalem. He was away from Bethany. Now, Bethany is about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. So one thing you get when you go to the Holy Land is you find that everything is so compact and close together. And so the cities weren't very far apart. But now the Lord Jesus Christ was quite a distance from Bethany and quite a distance from Jerusalem. Now, as we go into this word, we notice in the 11th chapter, one of his friends, the one he loves, is sick. And, of course, they want the Lord Jesus Christ there. And you know, when you go into this chapter, beloved, your heart is touched because we have all gone through, or the majority, I should say, has probably gone through death in your life. You've seen one of your loved ones pass away, or maybe a close friend pass away. And when we reach the age that everybody is in this auditorium, most people have had somebody close to them touched by death. And so we know what a funeral is like. We know what death is like. I remember the first one that I remember in my life as a young boy. It was a girl named Lola. She was the same age that I was, 9 years old. And she died. And that young girl, I'll never forget, at her funeral. I didn't go. They didn't want me to go. They didn't bring children to funerals at that time too much. But I sat outside the church where she was buried because my home was right next door. And I'll never forget them singing that song, "Safe in the Arms of Jesus, Safe on His Gentle Breast." I was touched by the homegoing of this young girl who knew the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. At that time, I had professed to be saved, but I didn't know Christ as my Savior. So I knew a little bit about death. Another time, I remember, as even before that, I followed which I thought was a parade one day after school. About 12 o'clock, we're let out of kindergarten, and I followed this parade. Well, I followed it to a church, and they stopped there, and I looked at all these cars and so on and so forth and the people, and I watched this funeral is what it was. And so I was very late getting home from lunch that day, and I walked by one of the elders' house, and I saw Mrs. Upton, and I said, "Wasn't that a nice parade?" Well, it was a funeral. You know how little children are. And my mother, I spotted her coming down the block. And I said, "Oh, Mother," and she did not have love in her eyes at that moment. She was worried about that little rascal that didn't come home from school. And I remember the first thing she did was glared at me, and the next thing I felt a pat on the seat of learning, and I found out I shouldn't have followed that parade. And so on the way home, I told her, I said, "Mother, you don't understand. I just followed the parade." And I said, "You can ask Mrs. Upton." And my mother dealt with me about that going, and then she thought, she really gave me a thank you, because she thought not only did I take the long way home from school, but I was lying to her as well, because she knew there was no praise around. So I said, "Well, you ask Mrs. Upton," and sure enough, she did. And when she asked Mrs. Upton, she said, "Mrs. Upton, did you see a parade? Gene say that he saw a parade with you." "Oh," she said, "Mrs. Redling, it was a funeral." Well, my mother then said, "Well, you did tell me the truth. It wasn't a parade, it was a funeral. You just got kind of mixed up a little bit as a child." But, beloved, we've all been touched by death. And, you know, as we go into this chapter, we think of a girl. We think of another girl. And we think of a brother. The family that loved each other. The Lord Jesus Christ that loved the family. Oh, he loved this family so much. He loved to come to their home. And, you know, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is still coming to the homes of the saints. You know, even as we in our household, as God himself, the Spirit, occupies the breasts of each saint of God, how he loves to be in our presence, and he loves for us to talk to him. You know, here we notice that it says in that first verse, "And a certain man was sick named Lazarus." Now notice, of Bethany, it tells this town, Mary and her sister Martha. Then it goes on, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, you know, we notice this portion of God's word in several of the Gospels about this Mary. But there's another one that was called a sinner. We're not going to take time to turn to it. But in one of the Gospels, it tells us of another person that took an alabaster box and broke it on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She wasn't before him, but she was behind him. She broke the box, and she anointed his feet with the ointment. And she took her hair of her head, and she wiped his feet, and she kissed his feet. Now, that was another one. That was called a sinner. A woman that was a sinner. And some would say, as you study the Word of God, that that probably was a harlot. And you remember the disciples that were around him. They said, if he's the Messiah, if he's the God, if he's the one, he should know that this is a sinner. But, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ knew she was a sinner. But he knew this, that we were all sinners and had come short of the glory of God. And all that come to him are sinners. Starting even with Moses in the Old Testament, or even with Abraham. We notice that Abraham was a failure in his life. And we can go back even to the beginning of the Bible, to Adam and to Eve, and see that they were sinners. And then up to Abraham and see that he sinned. And then we can go into Moses' life and see that Moses sinned. None of us, beloved, are righteous in the sight of God. There's only one that was righteous, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. So, as we look at an individual, and as the Lord Jesus Christ had that woman anointing his feet in the Gospel of Luke, and broke that box of ointment upon his feet, and wiped his feet with her hair, Mary no doubt got that from the sinner woman. And here now, she is also one that anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times preachers have said in years gone by, when you've asked them what school they went to, they said, well, I went to St. Mary's. And a lot of people say, oh, you mean St. Mary's in Indianapolis, or South Bend, Indiana? Oh, no, I mean St. Mary's at the feet of Jesus Christ. And that's a good place to get your education, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Mary was always seated at the feet of Christ. But in this chapter, later on, you find that she's there. But in the first part of the chapter, you don't find her at his feet. And beloved, because she thought the Lord had failed her. I wonder how many here this morning haven't felt, even in their own hearts and lives, that the Lord Jesus Christ has failed you. And sometimes you say, well, he didn't answer my prayer. But beloved, you see, the way we want prayer to be answered is always for good for us and not for evil. Isn't the Lord just as good when he brings hardship into our life? Isn't the Lord just as good to us when he brings sickness and sorrow in our life as when we have all the plenty and the blessings of God? Of course he is. But we don't recognize it. And sometimes when disaster comes to our life and somebody dies, we say, well, where was the Lord? Where was the Lord? Why couldn't he do something about it? And beloved, we almost curse God. What a terrible lot of people we are. For we're only thankful when things go which we feel is the right way. But, beloved, notice what it says in that third verse. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I want you to get this verse. I want you to get this verse because I believe many times when we pray, we don't pray this way. Notice what it says. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. How do we pray so many times? Lord, you know this dear sister loves you. Oh, Lord, you know how this brother loves you. Beloved, the one sister of Lazarus knew the right order. It wasn't that Lazarus loved him so much. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loved Lazarus. When we pray, we should say, oh Lord, this one that is sick is the one that you love. How much did he love that person that's sick? He loved him so much that he went to the cross of Calvary to die for that individual. Beloved, what great love God has. Isn't that why the book of Solomon says, even love is stronger than death? Love is stronger than death. For even the Lord Jesus Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. He went to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. Love is stronger than death. He loved us so much that He went to death for our sins, O beloved. What love the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. But notice the scripture, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest. Lord Lazarus, you love him. We know you love him, Lord. And each one of us can say this morning, yes, Lord, I know you love me. You love me. Oh, beloved, isn't that true of every one of us here this morning? That he loves us so much that though we have gone away from him and into sin, he still loves us. He has never forsaken us. We have gone our own way. We have said our own words, but he still loves us. We have been disobedient to his word, but he still loves us. Why does he put up with you? Why does he put up with me? When we're so ungrateful, when he pours down his blessing upon us day after day, and we don't even have sense enough to give thanks to God. I wonder if there's anybody in this room this morning that you're so unthankful to God that you don't even give thanks for your food that he has provided for you on that table. Do you give thanks? You might say, well, I'm the one that provided that food. Oh, you're not. How foolish you are if you think you are the one that has provided it. For God could cripple you in a moment. God could put you on a bed of sickness. Sir, you can't provide 1 ounce of food for your family unless it was for God allowing you to provide it. Madam, you can provide one thing for your family, for your husband or for your children, unless God gave you the strength to do it. Don't think you're so great in yourself. For beloved, we are nothing but a speck of sand in the sight of God, but he loves us. Isn't that what he said to even Abraham? I'm going to make your children just like the sand of the seashore. It's going to be numbered like that. He counted the children of Israel just like a speck of sand. And beloved, all we are in the sight of God is a speck of sand. But God loves that little speck of sand, and he loves you, though you might not realize how much he loves you. You know, as you go into this portion, you find in the fourth verse, when Jesus heard that. Now, beloved, when we go into that scripture, we would think right away, well, the Lord will terminate his visit here on the other side, Jordan, and run right away to Bethany and say, come on, people, let's go. Let's go. Lazarus, my friend, is sick, and I must be there at Lazarus' side. But he doesn't. But he doesn't. And, beloved, I can just picture the home there in Bethany as they wring their hands and they think of their brother. He's getting weaker. And he's getting weaker, and they say, I wonder if the messenger found the Lord. The messenger finally arrives back, and they're thinking the Lord will be with the messenger. But the messenger's alone. Did you give Jesus a word? I could see Mary wringing her hands. Did you give Jesus a word? Oh, yes, I told him. Did you tell him what I told you to tell him? Oh, yes, I said, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, what did he say? Well, Mary and Martha, he said strange words. Notice what he said. And he said, this sickness is not unto death. He said, what? He said, this sickness is not unto death. Well, I guess the Lord's going to come then and heal Lazarus, and he'll be all right. But the Lord didn't come. Beloved, has there been a time in your life and in my life that we prayed earnestly, oh, Lord, please come, but he didn't show up? And we thought the Lord failed us. We said, oh, Lord, why aren't you here? I prayed and I asked, but you did not come when I needed you. Is the Lord ever late? Notice what he says. The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Dear friend, maybe the thing the Lord is allowing in your life is for the glory of God. Maybe this morning you're sitting in this auditorium disturbed and upset at something that has taken place in your life, and you're probably blaming God. And you may be thinking God doesn't really love you or care about anything. And maybe you're here just because somebody invited you or because the family's put pressure on you to be here, but you don't really want to be here. And now you're hearing this sermon and you're boxed right into a corner this morning. for God is speaking to you. And you know what he says? But for the glory of God. This sickness is for the glory of God, beloved. Sometimes you say, can any sickness be for the glory of God? Yes. This sickness was for the glory of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified. Notice what it says. For the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. God can get glory by your sickness. Oh, beloved, you probably heard the story this last week. Fanny Crosby, that had so much happen to her in her life. Had that little daughter that got sick. Begged God to let it live. Here she was blind herself. Loved that little daughter. But the Lord took that daughter. And she told her husband that the daughter had died. She said, play that song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Safe on His gentle breast. Beloved, she could have probably gone into the sorrows of others. She never had a daughter after that where she could grab into her arms and hold it and love it. For God had taken her only daughter. But then is when she could sit down and write the hymns that we sing and the poems that she wrote. And we can be blessed by them because she could enter into the sorrow of others. But beloved, it's hard to comfort somebody when you haven't gone through sorrow yourself. When I first started my ministry, I had not gone or experienced any death in my family. But after my mother passed away, before I'd go up to a person that lost their mother or their father, and I'd grab their hand and say, I know what you're going through, but I didn't, beloved. If you've never experienced a mother dying, don't be so foolish to go up to the person and say, I know what you're going through. You don't know. I don't know what it's like to go through when a daughter passes out of a home or a son because I haven't experienced that. I've experienced what it is to have a mother gone. And to drive from Lakeland, Florida, where I was serving the Lord, all the way to Minneapolis, Minnesota, practically nonstop to get there. And my prayer was, oh Lord, let her live until I get there. Let her live until I get there. And beloved, I got so tired, I picked up some hitchhikers and had them drive for me a little bit and didn't have enough money to fly home. I said, Lord, just keep her alive until I can see her. I'm serving you, Lord. When I got into Illinois somewhere, I got so tired, I just had to stop. And I slept for 1 hour. I got back under the wheel of that little Volkswagen, and I tore off for Minneapolis. Came down into Wisconsin, down through Wisconsin Dells, heading towards Minneapolis. As I was coming down a hill there, not realizing, practically half blacked out, I rode down, and I realized that there was a stop sign, and I was going through it. There was no way I could stop. But the car, there was only one car on the highway that was entering the intersection. And he stopped and he flagged me on. Isn't the Lord good? I could have been in my grave too. But the Lord watched over me. I got there. I got to Minneapolis about 10 o'clock at night. When I got in, I called home. I said, Helen first, mother, what hospital she is. She said, I think you better come home, Jim. I said, no, I want to see mother. Just tell me when I... No, come home. I said, listen, Helen, don't tell me to come home. I want to see my mother. She said, Jim, mother died 1 hour ago. Here I'm a servant of God in Lakeland, Florida, and God can't keep my mother alive so I can see her. Oh, beloved, that's what I went through. I went to a park and I had it out with God the next day and I said, God, I've served you, I've given you my life, and yet you can't keep my mother alive 1 hour so I can see her. Oh, bitterness of soul. How I stand rebuked this morning that I dare to talk to God like that. But beloved, this portion means something to me because I can know what Mary and Martha went through. But what comforting words it was for my sister May to say to me, Jim, we're so glad you didn't get here when mother was still living. I could have slapped my sister. I thought, you're so ungrateful. You saw Mother. And then she finished. She said, Jim, Mother, when she died of a stroke with her legs being pulled up to her chest, with her arms being pulled to her chest. She said, Jim, you can remember Mother in a rocker and speaking to you. You didn't see her suffer. Isn't God good? God didn't want me to see my mother suffer. We were so close in partnership. But beloved, there was Lazarus, close to Mary, close to Martha. And they asked the Lord to come. But he didn't come. Beloved, that remark that I made in my own personal life wasn't to glorify me, it was to glorify my Savior. He knew that probably I couldn't take to see my mother suffer. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Sometimes we don't understand until it's over with. Beloved, it's easy for us to understand the 11th chapter of John because we know how it ends. But Mary and Martha didn't know how the end of the story was going to be. They were going through this sorrow and they were looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. But he didn't show up. He didn't show up. Notice what it says in the next verse. In the sixth verse, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He stayed there for 2 days longer. Beloved, may I ask a question this morning? Is God ever late? Is God late in your life, sir? Are you so far ahead of God that you know all the answers? Are you waiting for God to catch up to you? No, my friend, God is never late. Sometimes we feel he is. But God is always on time. And he knows what it takes to bring you to himself. Maybe there's a Christian going through something here in this audience this morning and you need this message. Because you maybe have been looking at God with distasteful eyes and thinking God has let you down. Listen, friend, never think that way. I have been in that shape and I know and I have to confess it. But God has always been on time. I'm never ahead of the Lord. He's always on time. Notice what it says. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he spoke of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Beloved, God allowed Lazarus to die. Jesus allowed Lazarus to die that he might get glory. God might have let you go through something, sir, madam, to show your life that it might be made bare, that he might bring you to Jesus Christ, that he might save your precious soul, that God, through all the eternal ages to come, might get glory through you coming to Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of it? When God brings one sinner to Christ, God's going to get glory for that sinner forever and ever. Not just for a week or for a month. He might be letting you go through deep waters at this time. Maybe financial stress. Maybe other stresses that people go through. And he's bringing you down to the place that you might bow your knees and confess Jesus is Lord. And he'll save your precious soul because he went to Calvary to pay for your sins. Aren't you glad that he died for you? Aren't you glad that he allows us to go through these experiences that we might be brought to him? But beloved, there is Mary and Martha. They're sitting in that home and they're looking. They're looking out the window. When is he coming? When is he coming? When is he coming? And they watch the bedside of Lazarus. And they see Lazarus take that breath. As I've seen many take that last breath and die. I was with a family in Sanford, North Carolina. When the doctors tried to pull him out of the intensive care unit, I says, "Doctors, you might as well forget it. This family is very close. They're going to be to the end." They said, "We can't have them carrying on when he dies." I said, "I'll talk to him." I said, "Now look, you're in intensive care. When your father passes away, don't let out any screams or any yells." I said, "You hold on." I'll never forget it. I watched that man take a breath. Down he went, and the line on the meter went straight. The mother looked at the son and the daughter. They took the sheet very calmly and put it over. And they walked out of the room and left me with the corpse. He was gone. Mary and Lazarus were watching Lazarus that day, or Mary and Martha were watching Lazarus that day, and they watched him, and he took his last breath. Where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? Oh, beloved, the Lord was there. But the Lord wanted them to see that he was the resurrection and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Christ. And this morning the Lord wants you to see his power. And tonight we're going to get into the story where Martha and Mary meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, the silence, the hurt that Mary and Martha had towards Christ. But, beloved, was for the glory of God. All blessings come from him. Beloved, maybe there's one person here this morning that you'd like to be saved. And God has been speaking to you for many days and many weeks. And maybe you've even sat in these very chairs that you're sitting in this morning. And you've been under the conviction of the Spirit of God and Christ has said, "Come." But you've never come out of those chairs. You've never come down to the front. You've never accepted Christ. Or have you said privately, "Lord, I want to accept you." Beloved, maybe God wants to show you he's the resurrection and the life. Want you to come to him this morning. Want your sins to be forgiven. He'll forgive you for all of your sins if you would just come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you come this morning? Maybe there is one here this morning that would just like to say, "Lord Jesus, save me." Shall we just bow in a word of prayer? Maybe there's one that would like to turn that life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, save me. Save me right now." We're going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. Beloved, maybe you've had hard feelings towards the Lord, but the Lord can forgive you for those hard feelings and cleanse you from all iniquities and save your precious soul. And maybe this morning you need to come to him. Shall we bow? Father, we just pray if there's one without the Savior, that when the invitation is given, that they might slip out of those seats and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves them. He died for them. And Father, he wants to forgive them. Maybe this morning there's one here that would like to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Be with us through the invitation we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we stand and sing number 449?